Rumpole of the Bailey by John Mortimer. Read by Robert Hardy.
I, Horace Rumpole, barrister at law, 68, next birthday, Old Bailey hack, husband to Mrs. Hilda Rumpole, known to me only as she who must be obeyed, and father to Nicholas Rumpole, lecturer in social studies at the University of Baltimore. I've always been extremely proud of Nick. I, who have a mind full of old murders, legal anecdotes, and memorable fragments of the Oxford Book of English Verse, Sir Arthur Quiller Couch's edition, together with a dependable knowledge of bloodstains, blood groups, fingerprints, and forgery by typewriter, I, who am now the oldest member of my chambers, take up my pen at this advanced age during a lull in business. There's not much crime about. All the best villains seem to be off on holiday in the Costa Brava. In order to write my reconstructions of some of my recent triumphs, including a number of recent disasters, in the courts of law, hoping thereby to turn a bob or two which won't be immediately grabbed by the taxman, or my clerk Henry, or by she who must be obeyed, and perhaps give some sort of entertainment to those who, like myself, have found in British justice a lifelong subject of harmless fun. When I first considered putting pen to paper in this matter of my life, I thought I must begin with the great cases of my comparative youth, the Penge Bungalow murder, where I gained an acquittal alone and without a leader, or the Great Brighton Benefit Club forgery, which I contrived to win by reason of my exhaustive study of typewriters. In these cases I was for a brief moment in the public eye, or at least my name seemed almost a permanent feature of the news of the world. But when I come to look back on that period of my life at the bar, it all seems to have happened to another Rumpole, an eager young barrister whom I can scarcely recognise and whom I'm not at all sure I would like, at least not enough to spend a whole book with him. I'm not a public figure now, so much has to be admitted. But some of the cases I shall describe, the wretched business of the honourable member, for instance, or the charge of murder brought against the youngest and balmiest of the appalling Delgado brothers, did put me back on the front page of the News of the World, and even got me a few inches in the Times. But I suppose I have become pretty well known, if not something of a legend, round the Old Bailey. In Pomeroy's wine bar in Fleet Street, in the robing room at London Sessions, and in the cells at Brixton Prison. They know me there for never pleading guilty, for chain-smoking small cigars, and for quoting Wordsworth when they least expect it. Such notoriety will not long survive my not-to-be-delayed trip to Golders Green Crematorium. Barristers' speeches vanish quicker than Chinese dinners. And even the greatest victory in court rarely survives longer than the next Sunday's papers.